and I'm thankful the Lord for that. All right, if you want to stand with us, stretch your legs just a moment. Let's read a few of these verses. Psalm 107, verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Ain't you glad He brings them from the south? Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. He begins to talk about in verse number 5 how that they were hungry and thirsty in their journey, and He's going to deal with some things the Lord done for them. Verse number 8 said, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Beginning in verse number 10, He talks about darkness and affliction and being bound in chains, and how that they were weary with all of that, brought down in their heart. They cried to the Lord, verse 13, in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Verse 15, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." And the next section in this psalm, as we dealt with it, magnifies the word of God. He said in verse number 20, "Send His word in the midst of sin and folly and foolishness and iniquity and a bad shape that they got themselves into because of sin." The Lord, in the midst of all of that, sent His word, and by sending His word, He brought healing to their soul and deliverance from their destructions. Verse number 20, and then He makes this statement again in verse 21, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men." And so we preached all the way to verse 22 already. Look in verse 23. "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet." So He bringeth them. I love this phrase. I hope I can preach tonight from this phrase. "So He bringeth them unto their desired haven." Ain't you glad there is a haven to rest in? Amen. "Oh, that men," notice what He said again, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people, and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. There He maketh the hungry to dwell, and that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth He the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Do you understand the loving kindness of God? This psalm is all about observing all the things, Brother Jack, that he is magnifying, trying to get us to look at and bring in view and praise the Lord for. He said, if you can do that, you'll be able to understand the loving kindness of your God to your life. Amen. And so we've been observing these things. You can be seated. And I don't know if I'll bring this song to a close or not. I feel like maybe the Lord gave me some direction while we was reading. And so we'll see what the Lord does tonight. But in this psalm, this is a psalm we believe authored by David, connected to that of Psalm 105 and 106. And this being the third of a trilogy of psalms that give Israel's recorded history. Different segments and different generations are recalled in these psalms about things they encountered and ways that they treated God and ways that God treated them. And one thing we learn in these psalms, and in this psalm in particular, is that God was very, very faithful to His people. The nation of Israel, God has been faithful. When they were faithful, God was faithful. But when they were unfaithful, God remained faithful. And I'm thankful for that testimony of faithfulness of our God unto that generation and in that dispensation of time, for He is the same God to you and to me. And no matter what our story has been to this point, and no matter what pages have yet to be written, one thing is sure, Brother Bryson, that our God is going to be faithful to us. This particular psalm, David is rehearsing situations that involve, we have said, each involve a crisis, a call, and then ultimately a consolation. How that the Lord is aware of their crisis. He is listening. He is listening to the cry or the call that is being made, and that He's going to give them a consolation by delivering them from their trouble, saving them from their situation. And thank God that, thank God for His consolation that He gives from situation to situation in our life. In each of these situations that involves a crisis and a call and a consolation, there's ultimately involved a command. And the command is simple. It is a command for the people of God to be aware of what God has done and to be aware of the goodness of God manifest to them in their life. And that they would, in recognizing that, render back to God praise for His goodness and praise for His wonderful works to the children of men. And so we look at the word praise as it is used five times in this psalm, and is literally the act of acknowledging what is good and what is right about our God. The ways in which He works in our lives, we can say is good. And the things that He brings to pass, we can say tonight is good. And the ways He delivers us from things that look like would destroy us and be our destruction, we could say tonight that is the wonderful works of God that He has bestowed upon my personal life. And so praise is simply the act of acknowledging that and then stepping forward and intentionally casting toward Him our gratitude, our praise, our acknowledgement for those things that God has done. And so the matter of praise is at hand over and over and over. But David said, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord." And so the word "would" is in regard to men praising the Lord, revealing that this is a matter of voluntary action of man's will. Oh, that man would praise the Lord. And so we've got to have our will in tune to this. He's not going to force us to do it. He has commanded us to do it, or may we say demanded But he desires that that would be our desire to give to him. And I believe tonight, as we have made emphasis, that we ought to be desirous of giving the Lord praise. This is something that is to be given, and that God willingly receives as we willingly render it to him. He willingly receives it, but he is not going to take it from us by force. It must be an action of our will. It must be me saying, I will praise the Lord. David, I hear what you're calling me to do. Oh, that men would praise. A man should be followed by, I will praise the Lord. And so we've been using our dear brother Larry and his statement that we have become accustomed to hearing him say so many times these last several years, however many years he's been in the church. He said it and still saying it at testimony time, I would love to praise the Lord. And we believe tonight that this desire that David has in his own heart and this desire that he has for others to participate alongside of him is his way of saying praise flows from love for God and a love to give God praise. And so we're preaching with that thought in mind. I would love to praise the Lord. I would love to praise him, for I am a candidate of those that is numbered with the redeemed. Those that, my friend, have been brought and gathered out of the lands and out of all the lands from the east and the west, from the north and from the south, and have been gathered into the family of God, those that were once strangers, those that were once lost, those that were once in iniquity, but they have been redeemed. And David said in this psalm, as we read it tonight again, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those who know they have been redeemed out of the hand of the enemy, those that are no longer in the hand of the devil, those that no longer have Satan as their father, those that are no longer, my friend, under the bondage to the god of this world, but thank God have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We are called upon in this praise to give him thanks in verse number 1. For he simply is good. For his mercy endureth forever. It was his goodness and his mercy that my friend brought redemption's plan into this world. It wasn't the design of religion. It wasn't the design and the imagination of mankind that came up with redemption's plan. God in his goodness and God in his mercy. And he looked down and seen the shape that man was in and that sin had brought him to, and knew that man would never be able to climb out of the hand of the enemy. Amen. It was God's goodness and it was God's mercy. Amen. That designed redemption's plan. May I say, 2,000 years ago, it was God's goodness and God's mercy that delivered that salvation and redemption's plan by way of the old rugged cross and the suffering and bloodshed and the death of our darling Savior and his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We can look to the cross tonight and see redemption's plan being delivered to you and to me. And what a scene that is of God's goodness and God's mercy. For when surely, as one songwriter put it, when we could not go to where Jesus was, thank God in redemption's plan he came to me. I'm thankful tonight. Amen. We have reason to be thankful. We have reason to say, I would love to praise the Lord tonight, for we are in the number of the redeemed. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, and for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. If you've been redeemed, you ought to say so. Amen. If God has brought you out of the hand of the enemy, Amen. You, my friend, ought to say, I would love to praise the Lord. Amen. A lot we could say tonight further about redemption. Amen. I've just added some things to the message already this evening. Well, amen. What do we find then that the redeemed of the Lord can tap into to say, I would love to praise the Lord for what? Amen. What do we have to praise the Lord for? Well, we've said in verses 4 through 9, I'd love to praise the Lord for His leading. Amen. Ain't you glad He's leading us through the wilderness land? Amen. In which you and I are in tonight. Amen. I'm glad He didn't save me and redeem me and then turn me loose to do the best I could. But Brother Larry, He's been beside me and before me. And thank God He's been leading the way. Amen. And that's something we ought to love to praise the Lord for. Amen. I would love to praise the Lord for His leading. Number two, I'd love to praise the Lord for His liberation. Verse number 10 through 16. Amen. And we talked about the mess we can get ourselves in sometimes. Amen. Get ourselves in chains and enslaved and sit in darkness and be bound in affliction. And I'm glad and I would love to praise the Lord for every time He's come by and set me free. Amen. Brought me out of the darkness and into the light. Amen. What a blessed Savior we have. Somebody ought to love to praise Him for that tonight. Amen. Imagine where you'd be tonight. Amen. Had it not been for His liberating power in your life. Amen. Bringing you out of the mess you've made. And then last week, I still hadn't quite got over last week. In verses 17 through 22. Amen. I believe David is saying somebody ought to love to praise the Lord for His Logos. Just simply meaning His Word, His spoken and written Word. Amen. And so here, amen, He declares that that for those children of God that got in the folly of sin, amen, sin had made them silly and sick, sin had left them searching, and sin had reduced them to a sorrowful life. But in all that sin had done, the answer was going to be found in the Word of God. And so He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. I'd love to praise the Lord tonight for His Word. Amen. Do you understand tonight? Now, I don't want to bog down and I'm not going to be real long. I'm just going to give you one more point. I'll be able to do it quick. But I want to say this tonight. Have you ever thought about the Word of God that the Lord has given us in its ministry in our life? I've been saved now 26 years, Brother David. I've been saved, and since I've been saved, now before I got saved, I did not love the Word of God. I didn't get much out of the Word of God, and the Word of God deals with that because the natural man receiveth not the things that are of the Lord. He's not interested in the Word of God. He don't get much out of it. It's just black words on a white page. Amen. But when a sinner gets saved, amen, there's something, my friend, in his spiritual man that is birthed into his life. And his spiritual man loves and hungers and desires the Word of God. Here's what I've noticed in 26 years. Amen. I'm still in love with the book. Not telling you tonight I read it as much as I should at times in my life. I'm not telling you that I, amen, live everything that is in there. The Lord's still growing my life. Amen. But for 26 years, here's what I found about that book. Amen. It is healing to my soul. It is food for my spirit. Amen. It is sweetness. Amen. Sweeter than honey. Amen. In a barren and bitter land. And so when I think about the Word of God these 26 years, amen, I'm still learning from it. I'm still gaining insight into it. It's still alive. It's still feeding my soul. It still has captured my attention. And day by day and week by week, I pick it up. Amen. And I don't know how many times I've read it. And yet, but Gerald, I'll read it again tomorrow and there'll be something that'll leap off the page and I'll go, I never seen that before. Not that I hadn't read it before, but I never saw that. And then we'll read it again next year if the Lord don't come back. And we'll read it again and we'll go, Brother Larry, we'll go, I never saw that. Amen. And for 26 years, that word's been shining light and giving truth and giving nuggets. Amen. Can I say tonight, amen, and I didn't mean to bog down right here. This ain't where the Lord told me to get to. I'll get there in a second. But Brother Jesse, you can pick up any piece of literature you want to find that man has written in his intellect and published and become even some of the greatest works that have ever been written. And if you read them over and over and over and over and over and over day by day, eventually you're going to exhaust what can be extracted from that. And eventually you're going to get bored with that. And eventually it's going to lose its appeal to your interest. And it's going to become mundane. And I'm glad tonight that, thank God, I'd love to praise the Lord. And He sent His Word and He gave His Word. And it's not a word that gets old, but it is an old word that is renewed and made new day by day and situation by situation in my life. And I just love to praise the Lord tonight, amen, for His living Word. Amen. I know Jesus was the Word made flesh. We talk about the living Word in regard to the Lord and the living Word and the written Word. But I want to say, amen, I want to say tonight, amen, thank God for His written Word, for His written Word. This is the only, let me just park here a minute. This is the only book you'll ever find and buy to your possession that is alive and has life in it. That's why He said when they were on the verge of sin destroying their life, amen, how did He rescue them? They're on the brink, sissy, they're on the brink of death. They're on the brink of being utterly destroyed. And God said, I've got the solution. I have the answer of the sin that they're going through. And of all the things He could have sent them, the Bible said He sent them His Word. And what did the Word do? The Word brought healing. It brought life. It brought health. It brought strength to their situation. I want to say tonight, I'm glad and I would love to praise the Lord tonight. Amen. For this old black book, the old King James Bible. Amen. Brother Mike always says when you say that, it's perfect, and it is perfect. Amen. And because it's perfect, it can convert the soul. Amen. It can feed you. It can sustain you. It can bring life to you when you feel like you are about to be destroyed. Somebody ought to love to praise the Lord tonight for His Logos. Amen. Let me say tonight, I'll give you this. I think we're on point number 4. Amen. Notice with me in verses 23 through 32. We have the scene here in these verses, and I'll just be a moment. But we have a scene here in these verses as I read it to you tonight of mariners, sailors, if you will, that are at sea. The Bible said in verse 23, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. And so the scene that is being painted is that of sailors that are in a ship that is in the sea. They are doing their business. There is business from sailing from one port to another port, from one haven to another haven, from one place with goods, amen, to be delivered to another place. Now, as we read this, here is what the psalmist said. Do you got the picture in your mind? Sailors on the sea. Amen. In a ship, these are mariners that have business in great waters. But he said here, these mariners, these sailors, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. And so he says, let me tell you something about these men that do business in great waters. They have insight as to some of the great things and the wonders and the works of the Lord in His creation. There are things these men see nobody else sees. These men see things take place that land dwellers will never know anything about. Those that are holed up in houses, those that are afraid to step foot on the boat, these are going to see things that are going to blow other people's minds. Amen. They see the hand of God do things that that again land dwellers will never be brought into the view of. And so what does he have in mind? I believe that statement that he has in mind links us to what he's getting ready to describe. I believe tonight just sailing on calm waters. Amen. Sailing on sunny days. And Brother Maurice, there are things you'll see in the sea that you'll have to say, my goodness. And you believe what God has made? And you believe the waters? Can you believe that? Listen, those that do not have an affection or an experience on the sea and on the waters, amen, they do not know the power and the might. Amen. To them, to the land dwellers, they just see a watery wilderness. Can I tell you tonight? Amen. In those deep waters, there are creatures the hand of our God has made. That He spoke into existence. There are magnificent creatures, beautiful creatures that are in those deep waters that you'll never know anything about unless you're willing to get in the ship and set sail. And even on sunny days, amen, even on calm days, there is an exhibition of the wonderful works of God. Can I tell you this tonight? That if you get in a boat and you're going to make sailing across the sea your business, if that's going to be your life, eventually, you know what you're going to run into? Hey man, if you sail long enough, you know what you're going to run into? You're going to run into a storm. The seas are not always going to be calm. The seas are not always going to be, filled with the sound of the gulls singing their songs. And it's not always going to be sunshiny days. And if you sail long enough, eventually you're going to encounter a storm. And you say, well, preacher, if that's the case, I'm not going to get in the boat and I'm not going to make that my business. But I believe it's a wonderful picture of the life of a child of God. Amen. That we are in a boat and we are in a ship and we're sailing, my friend, from where the Lord did business with us, and we responded to His call and got into the ship. Amen. And now we're in a life sailing upon what one songwriter said, or likened it unto our salvation. Our Christian life is likened to sailing on the sea of life. And here's what we understand. If you sail long enough, you're going to encounter a storm. Sooner or later, the waves are going to begin to roll and the winds are going to begin to blow. And sooner or later, the dark clouds are going to roll in. And when they roll in, they're going to bring the thunder and the lightning and the rain. And waves are going to roll up and down. And that is the scene that the psalmist David pictures the people of God being in, that they have sailed and that is their business. But Brother Larry, they began to encounter a storm. In fact, it is a magnificent storm that he describes. Listen to what he said. And by the way, let me say this, the storm they're going to encounter, according to verse 25, is that God has brought their way. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind which lifteth up the waves thereof. And so I want to say tonight, and this is not alliterated, it's not alliterated on purpose, just get the thought for a moment tonight, that their God, as this sailing is their business, amen, God has brought a storm into their life. He has brought a storm against their vessel. He has commanded this to come their way. And I say tonight, amen, sometimes he commands a storm, according to the story of Jonah. He commands a storm to come against us because we're out of the will of God. And that storm has been commanded into our life to get our attention and to get us back in the will of God. Sometimes he commands the storm, not because we're out of the will of God, but because he wants to increase our faith. I think about the disciples in the days in the life of the Lord Jesus. And on several occasions, a couple of occasions, the Lord, I believe, commanded a storm while they were in a ship on the Sea of Galilee. It wasn't because they were out of the will of God. In fact, there are times they are smack dab in the will of God, in line with what they were commanded. Get in the boat and go to the other side. And in the midst of doing that, the Savior allowed a storm to come against them. Not because they were out of the will of God, not because they were in sin, but for the simple cause that he wants to do something in that storm to grow their faith. Amen. Somebody said, boy, the devil has thrown a storm in my direction. How do you know it was the devil? How do you not know it wasn't your sovereign God and his divine plan that brought a storm so that you could see some things? Amen. No, remember what David said. These that go down to the sea in ships, what are they seeing? They are seeing works of the Lord and his wonders in the day. And God sometimes sends storms our way so that we can behold the might and the power and the wonderful works of our God in the storm. Amen. If it was always smooth sailing, you would not know half of what you know about the power of your God. Notice this storm that he sends. The Bible said they mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. And so again, this is a magnificent storm. This is not a springtime shower. This has brought about waves and has brought about something that has a fierceness behind it. And so what happens now? Don't criticize them now. Don't criticize them. As if we can identify, the Bible said in the midst of them sailing, the storm is calm. The waves and bring them to the heaven and then back down again. And here's what the Bible said. Their soul is melted because of trouble. These are people that in the midst of what is going on, they're doing all they can do. I'll show you that in a moment. But the more they work against the storm and try to sail through the storm, their heart begins to melt. They're losing hope. You ever been there? Amen. I was recalling some things to a friend of mine today. The Lord had brought me and my family through. And we was talking about it, and I was recollecting through that while I was telling him about some specifics of what God had done. I was reminded of some days that felt like so hopeless. It felt like the melting of our soul because of the trouble we were in. You say, preacher, what was going on? There was a storm It seemed to be sucking the hope and the faith and the life out of my very soul. Amen. That is what David said. The storm does to us sometimes. Sometimes our soul melts. It melts because of our trouble. So I never get worried about nothing. Will you pray for the rest of us? Amen. They reel to and fro and stagger. I've got a point I'm going to make here in just a moment. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Ain't that a, you ever heard that phrase before? So-and-so's at their wit's end. Do you realize that come out of the Word of God? Come right out of this psalm. That's where that old cliche comes from. Amen. And literally meaning that that they have exhausted all of their wisdom. All of their wisdom literally has been swallowed up. The storm has swallowed up all their know-how, all their past experience, all that they have known to lean on, all that they have been trained to do. All of that has been, the storm has just swallowed it all up. Now they're at their wit's end, not knowing how in the world they're going to make it through the storm. And I love verse number 28 where the Bible said then, after they had exhausted everything they knew to do, amen, after all their strength was gone, after all their wisdom was gone, after all their past experience was gone, amen, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. When they didn't know what to do, they knew their God would know what to do. When they felt like they couldn't row one more turn of the oar, they knew their God had strength to bring them through the storm. Hey, man, when they, my friend, got to the place, they said, we've never experienced a storm like this before. They knew they could call upon their God and that their God would know exactly, my friend, what to do. Though they had not experienced this, though they could not lean upon the arm of past exposure to storms, their God was not bothered one whit. Amen. By what they were going through, they called on Him and cried to it. And they found out that God was enough to bring them out of their distresses. How many times has God done that for us? You see tonight the scene that is being painted is that of mariners in a boat sailing through the sea of life. The storm comes and they feel like going up. No, I'm going down. I'm going down. I'm going down. And then somehow they're still afloat and going back up again. I think we could say tonight, David is saying, I would love to praise the Lord and I would love others to love to join me in it. Praise the Lord for, I'll call it tonight, for His lifting. Amen. You see, the scene here seems to be that of what the disciples would experience when the Bible said on the Sea of Galilee, the rain was coming, the winds were blowing, the waves were so high they were crashing into the boat. And the gospel writer gave the account of that situation. And the boat was now full. And so there is water in the boat. The boat and the ship is taken on the water and it's now full. And science would say the boat ought to be going down. But in the storm, the boat kept lifted up above the storm. And I say tonight, somebody ought to love to praise the Lord for how many times He kept your boat floating. When everything around you and everything in the storm, amen, said you're going down and you're not going to make it. You're not going to live to tell about this. And yet, amen, here we are again tonight. We look back and Brother Bob, I can see some storms I've had to sail through that that surely I thought in the midst of them I was going to be destroyed, and I was distressed about, amen, what it looked like was going to happen. But somehow, some way, God, amen, kept my boat lifted. Amen, I didn't go down. I didn't drown. I was not wiped out. I was not destroyed. And I'm able to stand here today because some way, God kept a lifting power upon my life. Somebody ought to thank God for that. Some of the worst storms of your life, you did not make it through because of your know-how. You made it because up underneath your vessel, it had taken on so much water, the wind had nearly capsized it, and yet, amen, there was an unseen hand underneath the vessel of your life that was holding you up, and it didn't matter how big the waves got. It didn't matter how many more knots the wind got cranked up. It didn't matter your sails had been tattered and torn. It didn't matter that, amen, the wind whispered, you're never going to make it through this life. The hand of God kept your life lifted, and you're alive tonight, and you're able to walk in the house of God tonight because the hand of God lifted you through the storm. Amen. Somebody ought to love to praise God for that. Amen. So what does the Bible say? He lifted them, amen, until the storm was made a calm. That's what it said. Amen. He making the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. I got to quit. Amen. These verses, I love these verses. Amen. I'm glad that he'll lift our life and our vessel till the storm passes by. I don't know how long they were reeling to and fro. I don't know how long their soul melted in them. Paul got in a storm. Amen. Over there in the book of Acts, y'all remember that one? He got in a storm, Brother David, that lasted so long they couldn't even tell how many days they had been in it. They didn't see the sun for days and days and days. They didn't know how long it had been going on. Yet, God kept him safe. Amen. Listen, the boat, even in that story, the boat got stuck and busted up. Amen. So, well, preacher, that goes contrary to what you're preaching. I know it don't. Amen. Even when their vessel stuck and the hinder part got busted up. Amen. They were some. My friend, God held them up and let them swim to shore. Amen. Others that maybe were too weak, he let them grab onto a board. And God kept them afloat. And God brought them to the island of Melita. Amen. To the point that Paul testified when the storm was over. Amen. They were all safe on the shore. God kept every soul safe. Amen. I'm glad he'll keep us lifted till the storm passes by. Amen. Listen, we gotta get this right. We gotta understand this. Amen. We don't make it because it's calm. We don't make it, man. Listen, even on the calm days, it is God that lifts our life. Amen. The same God that lifts us in the cold. And God lifts us in the storm. Amen. And he'll lift your life and has and proven it time and time again. He'll lift you till the storm passes by. His same one that commanded the wind to blow and the waves to roll is the same one that makes the storm a calm in verse 29. Amen. So verse 30 said, then are they glad. The mariners are made glad because they be quiet. Ain't it a blessing when you come out the other side of the storm and the waves just lay down? The gladness and the joy that you can look back and say, God got me through another one. Amen. Let me say a word about this next phrase. I don't have time to deal with all of it. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. You know what the psalmist is saying? Amen. What he's saying, Brother Bob, is that though the journey sometimes is long and the storms rage and it seems like you're not going to make it, here's what we know from this psalm. The Lord's going to get us to where the haven of rest is. He's going to bring us to our desired haven. And He's going to keep that vessel afloat. Amen. He ain't going to let you drown. He ain't going to let you go under. It doesn't matter how high the waves pick you up and then drop you down. It doesn't matter how big the winds get. It doesn't matter what condition your vessel appears to be in. The Lord is going to bring us to our desired haven. I remind you tonight, we have a destination we're going to reach. Amen. There is a port. Amen. There is a port. There is a place where we'll drop anchor one last time. Amen. And we'll find a haven of rest throughout all eternity. Amen. This world is not our home. He didn't save us and redeem us and put us on the vessel that we would be destroyed before we reach our desired haven. One of these days, we're going to pull in port. We're going to drop anchor. Thank God the plank's going to fall. And we're going to walk in the Father's house. And thank God we'll enter a haven of rest throughout all eternity. In fact, when we reach that haven, here's what John the Beloved said in the revelation that was given to him. It's going to be so peaceful on the other side. He said, it's a land where there is no more sea. Amen. And if there ain't no sea, there ain't no more storms. And there ain't no more winds. And there ain't no more waves. And what a day that's going to be when we get to the other side and reach our desired haven. David said somebody ought to love to praise the Lord for how He's lifted us, how He has lifted us, how He is lifting us, and that we can trust He'll keep lifting us until we come to our desired haven. Amen. Now, what do we do with all of this? Here's the point I wanted to make. What do we do with all of this? If He's going to lift us through the storm, we ought to lift Him in the sanctuary. That's the point of this section of verses. If He is going to lift us through the storm, what do I do with that truth? How do I respond to that? How do I reciprocate that? David said, verse 32, let them, the mariners that have encountered the storm, the sailors who were brought to wits end and yet they made it to the other side. They were brought to a calm. The wind ceased. What are they to do when they're brought through and lifted through the storm? Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. You know what the psalmist just said? If He lifted you through the storm, then when you get down the house of God, you go in there and you say, hey, everybody, let me tell you what God brought me through. Like to praise the Lord. In fact, I wouldn't just like to praise Him. I would love to praise Him. I'm the mariner that should have drowned this week. I'm the child of God that should have been swallowed in the storm. But the Lord sustained me and the Lord held me up and the Lord lifted me and He brought me through, and now I just want to exalt Him. I want to praise Him, not just in the secret place. Amen. Some of y'all, you're secret praisers. You praise Him down the road. Nothing wrong with that. I do too. But this psalm said you are supposed to, every time the Lord lifts you through a storm and brings you through a storm, it allows you to live through a storm. What are we to do with that? Let them exalt Him, amen, in the congregation of the people. Say, well, I'm just too nervous. I'm too backwards. I'm too bashful about it. Has He brought you through something? Amen. Amen. One of the best ways for you to get over your nerves of praising the Lord is just to praise the Lord. If He lifts us, can I say it again and I'm done? If He's lifted us through any storm, we ought to lift Him in the sanctuary. We ought to praise His blessed name, sing with all our might, lift our hands, find somewhere when the storms pass by to say, hey everybody, let me tell you what the Lord done. Amen. I would love to praise the Lord. I can look back, Brother Jack. Mama, can we not look back over these, be 25 years, right? 25 years coming up. We've been married. We've grown up. We got married as babies and we've grown up together. We can look back to some storms, Brother Gerald, and say, the Lord lifted us through that one. The Lord lifted us through that one. The Lord lifted us through that one. The Lord brought a great calm. We have seen things land dwellers never get to see. If you can see it, you ought to say it. The Lord lifted me. Amen. Well, that's the message.